Let me introduce a pastor that we all know and love and haven't gotten to see in too many weeks. Pastor Darren, it's all yours.
Thank you, Pastor Gary. It's great to see you. Hi, everybody. If you could just wave, I just want to see if you're there. There you go. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Good. You're waving, I hope. Some of you? Anybody? Good. There's a few waves out there. So it's really great to be back with you. And so I don't get in trouble. My wife and kids, I'm sure, are logged on by now. And my wife has noticed that I'm not wearing my surgery brace that I'm supposed to have on. But, honey, it looked really dorky. And I'm sorry. And so I will put it on as soon as I leave here. But anyway, I am really glad to be with you guys. And I really do miss you. Really do miss the fellowship. And that's the truth in Jesus' name. I'm glad to be here this morning, especially because my teenage son just got his driver's license. So I'm really glad to be with you this morning. Actually, no, just kidding. Actually, Elijah did a great job, to be honest. He did a great job driving here. But so anyway, he did a great job. He's got his car, paying for his own insurance. So we're really proud of him. But anyway, health-wise, if I am doing better, my kidney function, for those of you who don't know, was like, I have one kidney now, and it was down to about 16%, and it's healed up. Thank you for all your prayers. Please continue to about 35-40%, which doesn't sound fantastic, but it is healing, and it's way better than 16%. And so I feel so much better, and I'm very thankful to the Lord and His healing and for the prayers. But I wanted to just bring a little bit of a word, and I'm going to be doing that this week, and then also with Willie as he's sharing the Easter message next week. And then God's given me a special message that He wants me to teach, and so I'm kind of excited about that, and we'll do that soon. But just a little devotional thought. Lester and Peggy were kind enough just to let me come up and share for a minute at their encouragement, actually. And you know, it's from Psalm 31. If you guys, I don't know if you have your Bibles. You should, even at home, keep them open. Get them on your laps. Psalm 31, and this is verse 14 and 15. And I'll just share it with you. The Lord had me read that this week. And this is at a time when a lot of people are struggling, and a lot of people are going through a lot of emotions. And understandably so, frustration, maybe anger, maybe hopelessness, and I think God just has a little bit of a message. And this is Psalm 31. And for those of you who don't know Psalm, does anybody know what Psalm means in Hebrew? It means praise. It simply means praise, or to shine, or in Hebrew it has the connotation of having like a worship, like a melodious praise. And so, if I just want to encourage you, if you're struggling, go through the Psalms, read a Psalm a day, because it's beautiful. And this particular Psalm was written by David. He wrote about half of the Psalms. And he's struggling, and he's saying everything's going wrong in his life right now. And he's like, he's saying, be merciful to me, O Lord. I'm in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. This was in verse 9. My life is consumed with anguish and groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction. And maybe some of you are going through those same things, finances or just going stir crazy or missing the fellowship or loneliness. All these things are true. But then he goes on to say, in verse 12 and then on, he says, I've become like broken pottery. Like broken pottery. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can feel like a little bit like I'm broken at this time in my life, or at that time, or in this situation, or this relationship. Like a broken piece of pottery. But we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So even though he's saying all these things, and even people are conspiring to take his life, he says in Psalm 31, verse 14, he says, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. And then he goes on to say something beautiful. And I'll tell you that in just a second. But we have to remember that my trust is in the Lord. Now, I am so thankful for all my friends, even seeing you here today. I love you guys, and I'm encouraged to see you. I'm thankful for you guys watching online, getting encouraged in the Lord and the fellowship. Thank you. You know, I'm encouraged by the stimulus checks that are coming. Woo-woo! I'm encouraged by that, or the payroll loans to help the businesses, or so many things. But my trust isn't in any of those things ultimately. I'm thankful for them. My trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says in that verse, in verse 15, something very profound, and I don't know, maybe it was just for me, but it says, "My times are in your hands." Isn't that powerful? My times are in your hands. And I've got a lot of folks that are worried and upset and all these things, but I trust in the Lord, and because of that, I know that my time is in God's hands. I'm not going to leave one day sooner or one day later than He wants me to go. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a fool and I'm just going to do whatever. Of course not. Don't test the Lord your God. But I want to encourage you, because we trust in Him, because we choose by faith to trust in Him, our times are in His hands. It says, I'm going to give you this in Psalm 139, and I just love this. And I'll just read it for you. I got to find out exactly, remember where it was. But it says in Psalm 139, 16, this is what God is saying to you, and may it encourage you. He says this, "Your eyes saw my unformed body." And He says, "All the days were written for me." All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Isn't that amazing, guys? That means there's a book written. God knows what's going to happen. He's not being taken by surprise. Use this time to allow the Lord to draw you close to yourself. Listen, it also says, I know this is supposed to be a devotional thought for 5 minutes, but you know me, I can't help it. I talk a lot. So give me just a couple more minutes. It says in Job 14, verse 5, that's back to the left in your Bibles. I'm going to turn there just for a second. Job 14, verse 5, listen to this. It says, "Man's days," and that includes women's, okay? "Man's days, mankind's days, are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed." Listen, our times are in God's hands, no one else. He says this in Psalm 39, 4 to 7. Only two more verses, and I'll close out here. Psalm 39, verses 4 to 7. Boy, I just love the word. How comforting, how encouraging, how strengthening. In this time, go back to it. Start reading it. Start hiding it in your heart. He says this in Psalm 39, and this is good for all of us to hear. He says, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end." He's done that to me lately. There was a time in the hospital and once at home where I didn't think I was going to make it. But God knows the number of my days and my times are in His hands. He says, "Show me, O Lord." This is Psalm 139, verse 4. "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is." And that's so that we can make good use of the time. "You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." It goes on to say this in verse 7. "But now, Lord, what do I look for?" That's a good question. What do you look for? He says, "My hope is in you." So in this time, and everybody's panicking, and it's easy to do, we become fearful, our hope is in Him. And then I'm going to give you one last scripture. I hope, if I remembered to mark it. And if not, then I'm just going to tell you. Oh, it's in Daniel. It's in the book of Daniel. It's in Daniel chapter 5. I don't have a mark there, so give me just a second. You guys remember this? Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, was giving a big party. Do you guys remember that scene? Remember, he's drinking and partying and just going on about life. Who cares about the Lord? And he asks during this big, terrible party, all the councils there, all the kings and queens and all that kind of stuff, the lords and ladies, so to speak. And he brings out the goblets that were taken from the temple in Jerusalem, the gold and silver goblets meant for the Lord, for his sake. Do you remember that situation? And do you remember what happened? A hand came out. Now, I don't know. I like to picture it kind of Hollywood style. A hand came out in the middle of that party. I picture a little lightning bolt coming out of the fingers. And he wrote, "Meeny, meeny, tekel, parson." You remember that? And they called for all the magicians and all them. None of them knew what it meant. So one of them, the queen mother, called Daniel, remembered him. And he went and he said, "Just so you know, by the way, meeny, that means God has numbered the days of your life." Now for him, that was a bad thing. For us, that's a good thing. But to him, to this Belshazzar who was treating God with contempt, because he knew all about the Lord from his grandfather, who turned to the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar, who ended up turning to the Lord. And he said to him, and this is in verse Daniel 5, 22 and 23. He says, "You knew all this, but instead you set yourself up against the Lord." And he says, Daniel saying this to him, he said, "You did not honor God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways." And I don't know, for me, that's a good question. Listen to this again. He was telling him this. Daniel is saying, "You did not honor God. Did not honor the God who holds in his hands your life and all his ways." Do I do that? Do you do that? Is your life about how you glorify God and how you honor God? I'll just close you with this thought. This was one of the most meaningful things my wife said to me. And I had it on my phone, but of course I set my phone down so I don't have it with me. During this time I was in the hospital, there were many, many days when there's multiple days when I wasn't sure I was going to make it. And because of some complications and stuff that the doctors did wrong, and that's another story for another time. But one of the things with the nurses and with the doctors and all this is I wanted them, I didn't tell anybody this, but I wanted them to see Jesus. And there were times where I got 1 hour of sleep, 2 hours of sleep, I couldn't have any pain medication, and I writhed in pain. I basically just shook for 24 hours a day. But yet, I wanted them to see Jesus in me. And my wife said something so beautiful. She sent me a little text when I was in the hospital and towards the very end. And she said, it was so meaningful. She said, "Through all this, through all the suffering that you did and through all the pain and the hardships that you were going through, you showed Jesus and you honored the Lord through it all. You showed his love and kindness." And you know what? I didn't tell anybody that I remember that I was trying to do that. But you know what? That's what my life is supposed to be about. That's what your life is supposed to be about. No matter what the suffering, good times, bad times, my goal is to be a sweet-smelling aroma for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And so are you to do the same. And I just want to encourage you in that. Amen? Amen. 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 All right, so this devotional lasted a little longer, but I'm going to call up Peggy and Lester, and they're going to... they actually felt led to do a song. And so that's pretty exciting. And I know they're not professional singers, he told me, but if they feel led of the Holy Spirit to come up and sing, I'd love to have them do that. And then Lester's going to lead us in the Word. It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing from it.
Isn't it just great to have Pastor D back? Hey, I love his teaching style. I just really, really do. And yeah, I wish I could share like he does. But anyway, we'd like to sing, and can we put that down just a bit? So this is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is actually referencing the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, where multitudes, multitudes of palm branch waving people were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, according to prophecy, Jesus would be the Passover lamb. And according to prophecy also, in Jesus' own words, he is our coming king. Now, we would like to sing a song that was written by the Gaithers a number of years ago. And actually, the first verse of this song kind of sounds like what the world's going through in this particular day and age. And but it's talking about our coming king. Now, Peggy and I, we're not professionals, but we'd like to minister the words of these songs. And we just trust that you'll listen to the words. And that, hey, when we get to the chorus, if you know it, please join in singing as we sing together, The King is Coming.
The marketplace is empty, no more traffic in the streets. All the builders' fools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors in the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding. I see, oh, the King is coming, the King is coming, praise God, He's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed, little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, now in garments white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, He's coming for me.
Amen. The King is coming. Our King, He's coming. And that was just one of the shouts that came from those who were packed alongside of both sides of Main Street in downtown Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. When Jesus came riding into town, riding humbly on a donkey. Now, the atmosphere, it was charged as people tore palm branches off of the trees and laid their robes in the street. And this was Palm Sunday as described in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village. Okay. All right. She clicked it and I lost my place. Go to the village ahead of you. And at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle or humbly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on the cloaks. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others, they cut branches from the trees and they spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed, they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, and they asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. As this shouting, palm branch waving procession was moving through the city of Jerusalem, with Jesus as the center of attraction, those in the crowd that were asking each other, who is this? I mean, who is this guy? What's going on here? And did you notice the answer? They answered, this is Jesus, the prophet. Sorry? What did you say? No, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And they said, what did you say? The prophet? Are you kidding? Is that all that he is to you? Simply a prophet? Yes, Jesus was a prophet, but he was more than that. In fact, he was literally moving through Jerusalem that particular day as the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, and he was presenting himself to the people as their Passover Lamb, and they missed it. He's just a prophet. They missed who Jesus really was. See, it was Passover time. The day that Jesus was making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem was the day that the Israelites were supposed to choose their Passover lamb that was going to be sacrificed 5 days later. It was the 10th day of the Hebrew month of Nisan, the day that the Israelites were to choose their lamb. And Jesus was presenting himself as their Passover lamb. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the people missed seeing Jesus for who he was. And you know the sad thing is that people are still missing Jesus for who he is today. Jesus is not just the prophet. He is the Lamb of God. He gave himself for our salvation. He was literally crucified 5 days later. As Jesus moved through Jerusalem, they shouted what was recorded in Psalm chapter 18, over 1,000 years before this took place. They were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! And as they shouted this, they continued, Hosanna in the highest! Now this word Hosanna in the Hebrew, it literally means save. We pray you. Save now. I beg you. It was a word that was used when the people came to the king and they were appealing to the king, please, I need your help. Only you can help me. I don't know anyone else who can help. And they were, it's a begging, a pleading word. Please save. Come to my rescue. And by the people crying out to Jesus, they were recognizing him as a king. I mean, Hosanna in the highest. They were acknowledging Jesus as the King, the one who can save. I mean, please, Anyone who can turn water into wine, and anyone who can heal blind eyes and raise the dead and walk on water. I mean, please, he can do anything. But what were they pleading for? Save us. Save us from what? From their sins? Save them from their total disregard for God and their daily life? No, that isn't what they are crying out for. They were crying out, look, you can save us from the iron rule of Rome. We want to be liberated. We want our political freedom. That's what they were pleading for. But the Lord's saying, hey, that's not why I'm coming. That is not my focus. My focus is not your political situation. My focus is your spiritual situation. How you stand before Almighty God. That's why I'm here. That's my focus. I mean, Jesus had said, he said that he had come. Why did you come, Jesus? He says, I came to seek and to save the lost. He said that he came to give life. And to give his life as a ransom. To give abundant life. He said, that's why I came. It's not for political reasons. Now, there's a couple things, few points that I want to emphasize this morning. And the first one is that they saw Jesus as one who could do for them what they wanted done. Not what he wanted to do for their lives. You see, look at the way that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The Bible says that he came humbly, riding on a donkey. He was making a statement here. My statement is, hey, I have not come to liberate you or as a political leader or as a revolutionary politically or militarily. He says, my statement is, if I were a political leader and a liberator like this, I would have been riding on an Arabian stallion, not a donkey. But Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day on a donkey, making this statement, he was coming to be able to deliver them from their sin, not from the rule of Rome. But still the people, they didn't, somehow the message went over their head. They didn't get it. And they cried out, Hosanna, save us from Rome. That's what we want. That's what we want you to do for us. But Jesus was saying, that's not what I came for. That's not what I want to do for you. I want to be your Savior. Point two. Jesus was offering an eternal salvation, not a temporary fix. See, if he would have come as a political liberator, okay, giving them their national freedom, their economic freedom, and everything else that comes from being free from the Roman rule, that, sure, that would help the people nationally, that would help them economically, but these are temporary solutions. Jesus asked the question in Mark 8:36. He says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He's not interested in a temporary fix for it. That's not his primary purpose for coming. That's not his goal for you and me. He wants us to get our hearts right with God. That is his heart for us. Our eternal salvation. After Jesus went through Jerusalem, he came to a place that was overlooking the city. And the Bible tells us that as he beheld the city, he wept over it. He wept over Jerusalem. Now there are two places in the Bible where we are told that Jesus wept. Of course, we're familiar with the shortest verse in the Bible in John chapter 11 verse 35, where he was standing by Lazarus's tomb. And the Bible says Jesus wept. Now, this word in the Greek there means to weep silently. He was weeping silently. But then when you come to where Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem, it's a different Greek word that's being used there, and it means to wail or to sob loudly. Now, why was Jesus wailing and sobbing loudly over Jerusalem as he was looking at the masses of the people? And I believe that the answer is given in Luke chapter 19, verse 44, where Luke records the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And Jesus said, through his tears, he said, "You did not know the time of your visitation. You missed your time of visitation. I'm here for you as your Savior, as your Passover lamb. Missed it. You missed it." And that's my third point. Don't miss our time of visitation. The question comes is, well, is Jesus still visiting us today? Indeed he is. I mean, Israel was, they were facing their problems in their day, and we're facing our problems in our day. Definitely. I mean, let's face it. That problem situations get our attention. We face financial crisis. We face marriage problems and problems with our children. We face life and death issues, and the list goes on and on and on. Dire situations cause people to cry out and call on God. I read that hey, there are more people praying in this day and age than that. Hey, they've forgotten how to pray, but they're praying now. And because we're in a dire situation. And there are many, many wonderful testimonies of people finding the Lord in their darkest hour, in their time of crisis. They turn to God because they're faced with a problem and they realize that their problem is bigger than what they are, and can I get help for this? And they fall on their knees, but then they realize, hey, I've got a bigger problem than the problem that I thought I was facing. I'm crying out to a God that I don't know. And they realize that Jesus Christ is their only one who can help them in their time of need, and that their biggest need really is not the problem that they were facing, but their biggest need is their heart situation. Are they right with God? And they end up repenting of their sin and asking Jesus Christ to come into their lives and to be their Lord and their Savior. You see, Jesus is the only one who is the source of our salvation. And I've heard of many others who are Christians, and they testify at the end of their crisis that they, I don't know how people go through problem situations without Jesus Christ in their lives. I wouldn't have made it if I wouldn't have known the Lord and had His strength and His wisdom and His peace in what I was going through. You see, today, I don't need to tell you, we are facing not an individual situation, we're facing a global situation, and it's a situation that has everybody's attention. Now, as I think about what people are going through around the world, I cannot help but reflect on the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 21, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Then he," Jesus, "said to them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom shall rise against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes and famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven." Now, what is a pestilence? I looked that up in the Greek. And the Greek word means any deadly infectious malady, a disease, plague. And I believe that this is yet another sign of the times that we're living in. One that the whole world can see and know. And how many will see this as their opportunity? Hey, I need to get right with God. This is my visitation to receive Jesus, the Lamb of God, who at Easter time shed His blood for my sins and the sins of mankind. Will they see that their spiritual state is a whole lot more important than their physical state. I'm going to say that again. Our spiritual state is a whole lot more important than our physical state. Jesus not only died for us, but he rose again from the dead. I mean, it is documented, it's proven that we have a living Savior. The one who said that he's going to return for us. Now, do I believe that COVID-19 is a wake-up call? Yes, I do. Do I believe that it's going to pass? Yes, I do. But this is my advice to Christians, and it's biblical. And it's also my advice to those who have not yet surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that as if I can see Jesus, and he's looking down on this world at this particular time, weeping, wailing. He said, please don't miss your time of visitation. I'm calling you to myself. And he's weeping loudly. Just like he did over Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday years ago. Christians, I want you to live according to the Word of God with a life that is totally surrendered to me. That's his heart cry. And unbelievers recognize that this is a day of your visitation. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Don't put it off. Come to me. I am your greatest need. Psalm 57:1 says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you. Yes, in the shadow of your wings will I make up my refuge until these calamities pass. Just like the song that Peggy and I sang in the beginning, the King is coming. Our King is coming. We're going to be hearing the trumpet sounding, and yes, we're going to see Jesus. But the question is, are you ready? Are you ready to meet the King? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is the Passover time of year when you sent Jesus to become the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. It's your heart that men and women everywhere should know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, just bring believers to a closer walk and trust in you as we go through these perilous days. And I cry, Lord, with Father God, I cry for lost souls. Just as Jesus was weeping over Jerusalem. May any who hear this message make this Easter time their time of visitation and receive you as Savior and Lord, crying, Hosanna, save me, Lord, from my sins. I surrender to you, and I'm going to serve you from this day forth. Your word tells us to look up, for our redemption draws near. And Lord, we're looking to you, our coming King, in Jesus' name. And we all said together, amen. Amen. God bless you. Brother Gary.
Lester, thanks for sharing a wonderful message, reminding us that it's okay to pray for our friends and our family to get well physically, but it's more important to pray that they get well spiritually, to remind us that our Lord has already come, and that he has come not only on a donkey, but he's come as a Savior. He's come to be our reconciliation to the Lord. So now I'd remind all of you to stay in touch with your brothers and sisters, and that if you have things to share, send a text to me. I expect to see the guys on Tuesday night on Zoom. And this is an opportunity, too, for those who don't know the Lord, they may be sitting at home binge-watching whatever, and that you might want to send them the URL for today's message. It could be not a lifesaver, but it could be an eternity saver. So have a blessed week, and we'll see you again next Sunday.